in the limelight.
As Brexiteers turn on each other, Brexit politics moves fast. Until now, the Tories plan to move on, only reviving Brexit-done triumphalism to re-arouse the captured red wall at the election. Labour just wanted to bury the whole issue. We now present you an article written by Polly Toynbee under the heading, Brexiteers are waking up to the damage they've done. The article has been taken from the British newspaper The Guardian. Please stay with us for more of Polly Toynbee's article. Brexit has breached the fishing boats at Hastings, a seaside town and borough in East Sussex on the south coast of England. The two-man crew of Paul Joy's boat Kaya have left for shore jobs after the price of the Hastade land fell to just 2 pence a kilo. Exports to the European Union are Brexit blighted, with fishers across Britain pulled axe by the new costs and regulations, their catches rotting before they reach the European Union markets. It's costing them millions of pounds already. For the last 2 years, Joy, a passionate Brexiteer, has consistently told me he believes his industry would be shafted in any trade deal. Outraged at the UK government's failure to secure British fishing rights for 12 miles around the coast, he says betrayed, sacrificed and now crippled by the export costs. So when Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab has the effrontery to tell the BBC's Andrew Marr that this is a great deal for the fishing industry, he must know it's not true. Other industries want to know if Boris Johnson's promised compensation for fishing losses means a huge subsidy in perpetuity for this less than 0.2% sliver of the economy. Because of the problems exploding in one industry after another, in less than 3 Brexit weeks, are not going away. Friction is the new normal, as recently the chief European Union negotiator Michel Barnier said firmly, things have changed for good. UK choices mean mechanical, obvious, inevitable consequences when you leave the single market, and that's what the British wish to do. It's not French revenge or bloody-minded Brussels, but ordinary life as a third country. The plight of the fishers is just a vivid emblem for the new blow that is falling on exporting parts of the economy. British politician and former journalist Michael Gove's December warnings of bumpy moments upped an octave in the first week of this year to Britain should prepare for significant border disruption. That well-staged last-minute deal melodrama was designed to end Brexit stories, relegating all boring details of the aftermath to the business pages. But not so. The stories are so strong even the ardent Brexit-creating press can't resist them. Though now those newspapers add a self-exculpatory slant that blames the government for a bad Brexit. Here are some random discoveries since Brexit Day. The Sun warns of Brexit's threat to the Cheltenham Festival. Last year, 180 Irish horses ran, but this year, Brexit leaves Irish racehorse trainers fearing colossal tax bill. Likewise, the cost of taking UK show jump horses across the Channel is prohibitive for their British owners. Motorsport faces similar fees for cars shipped to European Union races. The fashion industry, especially ASOS type, cheap end with small margins, is hitting a rules of origin crisis, paying new duties on its many products manufactured outside the European Union. Fun stories in The Sun include the lorry driver crossing the Gibraltar-Spain border, whose bottle of Nando's sauce is confiscated, along with all those ham sandwiches snatched by the Dutch. The Daily Telegraph reports the fight of Europeans from England, but not from Remain-voting Scotland and Northern Ireland. Farmers Weekly sends up flares about plunging meat prices due to delayed exports. All of these losses to a host of smaller industries mount up fast, but look at the Sunday Times report on the crisis in a car industry that's worth £42 billion in exports, employing 823,000 people, where car part delays are halting production at some factories. Yet still, most economically dead is the unseen slipping away of invisibles, where about 80% of the economy in services is already leaking tax revenues. Bloomberg keeps up its grim recording of no likely progress. It reports City of London's plight laid bare as Brexit deal hopes fade. And then there is the unfolding Northern Ireland disaster. Stena Line Ferries has diverted its Great Britain-Northern Ireland sea crossings to the Rosslare to Cherbourg route instead. The Times headline reads, "Doldrums ahead in shipping forecasts as Brexit complicates customs." Over the past year, I have been following the impending haulage disaster through Manfreight, a 200-lorry company in Coleraine. Its owner, Chris Slowey, says no, the crisis in Great Britain-United Kingdom crossing is not down to teething problems, as Dominic Raab put it. But it's baked into the nature of Brexit. His lorries carrying exports to England return empty, doubling his costs as English exporters find it too costly to sell to Northern Ireland, and that's permanent. The Telegraph reports that 1 in 10 lorries are being turned back at the European Union border. Delays will continue. Spot checks at EU borders are standard practice. So will queues, lorry parks and roadside squalor. The pandemic has worsened the Brexit effect, but that was a good reason to extend the transition period. It's only human to confess to some Remainer I told you so glee when ex-MP Kate Hoey wails in the Telegraph. The Tories have betrayed Northern Ireland with their Brexit deal. What on earth did she expect? That's why Northern Ireland wisely voted to remain. Expect a lot more shocked Brexiters to discover what they have done. The Brexit cabinet itself is on a steep learning curve. Here's one Telegraph columnist who writes, "We Brexiters are being blamed for the problems we warned about. In reality, the fault lies squarely with the government and with poor planning." Oh, the Schadenfreude. That's a sharp U-turn from the Telegraph's too eager January 1st report from the Dover front. Chaos? What chaos? As Brexiteers turn on each other, Brexit politics moves fast. Until now, the Tories plan to move on, only reviving Brexit-done triumphalism to re-arouse the captured red wall at the election. Labour just wanted to bury the whole issue. But the scale of the eruptions bursting out in one sector after another requires opposition to find its footing on this tricky terrain. Many, like Paul Joyer on Hastings Beach, are still as passionately pro-Brexit as ever. Fearlessly, Labour needs to regain its voice of outrage that Brexit leaders deliberately shut their ears to what leaving the single market and the customs union really meant. A better Brexit deal really was possible.